Welcome to another episode of Managing Change on Internet Blog Talk Radio, host Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the individual, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Search Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen. Now, also here at www.managingchange2.com. Internet radio at its best.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Managing Change. I am your host, Ronald Allen, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you a truly eclectic perspective. In fact, so eclectic that we're going to be having Nia Reed Allen, and for full disclosure, she is not related to me. On the other hand, she is a profound builder. Here is a woman who was a professional model and creator of Merkle and Flossie. This is a postpartum service that she provides for women, first-time mothers, and we're going to certainly schedule her for our program. She is, by the way, part of our Rising Tide Capital promotion of small business owners who are going through the Rising Tide Academy and are looking to build their own dreams, talking about change, talking about utilizing your skills. And certainly, Miss Reed Allen has moved from fashion design and modeling, a very demanding, very stressful profession, to one equally having her own child and helping women transforming that seemingly, and in some cases, negative energy into a positive outcome. So by all means, look up on our board at managingchange2.com. You'll also notice there's a new facelift. Absolutely. We have to try at least to keep up with the times. And you will see her promotion of her interview coming up shortly. In the meantime, tonight's program, one behavior that has not changed, and that is the need for effective communication. And I'm producing this program out of somewhat frustration of people who try to engage me on LinkedIn, and certainly in my everyday challenges of communicating with people at different levels of social, cultural, the ability to communicate. We had a great gentleman the other day come down to one of our workshops, Gerard Green. He is a Toastmasters member and has accomplished great feats in effectively building his communication skills. And what I realize is that no matter what level we are, no matter what title we have in our company, in our profession, being able to communicate in an effective, calm, persuasive, sometimes demonstrative manner brings everybody along. It's no longer sufficient to say, I'm getting what I want. I think the true litmus test, you've heard us use that phrase many times on the program, of effective communication is to bring people along. So in many cases, it is about taking time. I don't know if it's extra time, because when you're getting what you want and other people are aligned, other people are enjoying that experience, then I think you're not spending more time. I think you're spending the right time, the right utterance. And we're going to go through some of the necessary rapport building, we call it etiquette, ways of communicating. Some of the work I've been doing has certainly given me certain challenges in this area. And you'll see shortly as I've been fortunate enough to finally get my workshop out of my head and up onto Udemy. Udemy is a new platform, one of the new platforms for presenting your courseware. And that will be up and running, I believe, in about 2 weeks. We've spent considerable amount of time. I have spent years in believing that I can get this up and running, and it can be effective. And my litmus test in this case was the feedback from workshop development centers, workshops that I've given at corporations, and the general feedback that I've received when I present parts of this workshop that help people in general navigate change. And it's not about careers. There are many people who do that very effectively. I don't think I could even compete with that in their arena. I think there are many people that do just general communications very effectively. Assessment of your needs. There are more than enough models out there. You know the one that I enjoy, the Briggs-Meyer mother-daughter team. I think that's so unique. Never underestimate the ability to bring your value to the table, even if others don't value you. You'll have to read between the lines on that one. So the course that I've produced will be up and running in the next 2 weeks. But in the meantime, tonight, we do welcome your calls on this topic, one behavior that has not changed, and that is, how do you effectively communicate with your employees, with your spouse? Is it a new relationship? And we know there are nuances to that. Is it a seasoned relationship? Are you going through a time where you're both focused on achieving something? Are you new to a group, a club, a sorority, a fraternity, and therefore what's motivating you is very different than if you've been in the club and have established your place, social ebb and flow? Your communications change based on all of these factors. So we welcome your call at 347-843-4378 right here on managingchange.com and our program, Manage Change, on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and we'll be right back with a short break. So let's jump right into what is effective communication. Well, many of you may know that I am a Toastmaster member, and I've managed to, as they say, fellowship at a number of different clubs as I move around the Eastern Seaboard, whether it's from Connecticut all the way down now to Virginia, where we have a niece who is in the Hampton University. She's on break, of course, right now. And I've enjoyed the camaraderie of much of the clubs, the different styles, the different emphasis on Rudyard's rules of engagement, parliamentary rules of engagement. And it's important to know that it's not just in the formality of addressing a board or addressing members of authority, as in a mayor's office, or even under faith-based initiative protocol. It also allows you to manage people as a supervisor, as a director. And I think over and above your title. Because many people, as we know, get run away. They get caught up in a title. The effective managers and supervisors among us realize that we're all born of the womb. We all put our clothes on the same way every day. Those of us, though, who are effective communicators, take the time to scope out that population that we're working with, our frontline workers, are middle management, those who are from outside adding value, consultants, partners, trustees. They all have a value. And by taking some time, just to, even before a meeting, even before you get to know them, we have all these social media platforms that aid in our way to communicate. So instead of just looking at a profile and saying, okay, this guy has an ability to hire, or this woman has an ability to introduce me to a market, what if I found a common interest, a common element, and I use that as the focal point and use my request as secondary? How would that change the dynamics of that exchange of communication or exchange of conversation? Let's take the adversary role where you're being chastised. You've done something wrong. You know it. You have to admit it. You're going to have to absorb the blows, as they say. Let the wind blow through your sails. What if you took the position of acknowledging, stating why, and then putting forth potential options to correct the situation, while at the same time asking for some feedback? Now, the danger with that is, of course, the latter part, asking for the feedback, is why didn't you ask up front? The response is very easy. You've given me this charge. You had endeared me to this job, this project. You had a certain faith, and I may not have achieved the results. I do have reason, data. We're all data-driven these days. So I have reason why I followed my steps to achieving this. And now I find that they did not work. I am humble. I have humility to ask you for some guidance. Now, if the person continues to rant and rave, so be it. You at least now know that their form of communication is such that they have little tolerance for themselves. Yes, I said it, for themselves. It's not for you, because anyone else probably would be treated the same way, unless, of course, there's a certain nepotism involved, or favoritism, whichever you want to rephrase it. So in effective communication, we look at the whole potential scope. Project management comes into terms again. I've been immersed in it lately. But we look at the whole rainbow and we say, from the time that I enter this conversation, where could it go? How could I look at potential outcomes, needs, requirements of the person that I'm speaking to, of the multiple people that I'm speaking to? What if all they're really looking for is engagement? Let me bring them into the conversation. So instead of speaking at them, we are all speaking about the issue. Now, some of you may know of the phrase being hard on the issue, soft on the people, soft on the delivery of the people that are delivering the message. And this simple methodology says, or subscribes to, if you're trying to accomplish something, so I'm trying to make sure that project is being delivered, the different phases in that project are being addressed in a timely fashion, and so I will ask the people, what have you done? What have you put in place? What are you doing to ensure that this occurs? And as they give you an answer, you are then going back, and I call this the Kissinger approach, Henry Kissinger, for those who are not familiar with the term. I give it the Kissinger approach, and that is, I keep asking another question. I ask it slightly differently. I phrase it a little bit differently. I put emphasis on different words each and every time, and I mix it up. So an example is, I'm looking to secure companies that will need a particular product that we sell. So I do my research. I look at the market, companies that are using this kind of product, companies that may need it, because there's also a lot of research out there for positioning. If you think of PSC and utility companies, they're usually projecting 20 years out. So I want to see what companies might need this particular product. And then I look at my life cycle in delivery. And then I might do a quick survey, one or two questions out to the market. Take 50 people, 100 people, and just ask them, I understand you might or you are using this product. What are your main concerns? So you're getting anecdotal feedback. You might give them a list of two or three things, just very quickly, so when they see it, they can respond. They may know your company in the marketplace, and they feel safe in responding. Obviously, that's an important aspect. And if they don't know you, then maybe you might send it as a hard copy. Yes, it takes a little more time. At the same time, you're looking for a long-term relationship. So our communication is one that sets that in motion from the beginning. As we said, the behavior of how we communicate gives feedback of the return on that investment comes back. So now that you've put that in place, you want to then begin to say, okay, what, based on the feedback, what can we do to provide them this level of service? And now you're going back to your departments. You're going back to your service people, and you provide them feedback and let them communicate to you what pros and cons are capable. What is capable of getting that product to those clients under those circumstances? And then you might even welcome many, especially in the heavy technical industries, cohorts come together. And in some cases, even competing companies come together. And those engineers, those people on the deep in the product cycle of how it's being built, we'll discuss some of the challenges, whether it's within the company, within the business unit, or in a conference, at a conference. So now you have all this feedback. You've communicated in a way that says, how can we deliver? Now, there's one aspect that's missing, and that is the silent, passive-aggressive. And you're not going to get them to respond because this is not the environment in which they like to give out information. You're going to have to do that under a very different system, very different process. And that is going to be anonymously. It's going to have to ensure that their expression of concern is not tied back to them directly. So now we're in a wholly different environment. Typically, when we talk about communication, we think of communication as, well, I'm speaking to you, you hear me, we can go back and forth. There is another form of communication. And when we come right back, we'll talk about how passive-aggressive can disrupt effective communication. You're listening to Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and you're on Blog Talk Radio. We welcome your calls. Let me come back at 347-843-4378.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me. Issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. blogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
Welcome back. I am your host, Ronald Allen, and every Tuesday and Thursday, we bring you a broad selection of different guests talking about change. What is it about change that we are so adverse to? Why do we believe that it's so difficult? Do you, the individual, understand that as you go through life, you are mandated to adapt to change your perspective on things? And if you don't, then what is your reality? How has life played out for you? For those of us who have been fortunate enough to be blessed with the ability to understand that everything is constantly in flux and have developed, I'm not going to say that they're always comfortable, because we're not, and I'm one that subscribes to a constant change or flux in life, that we have the knowing that we are better off. If you ever done any cross-country hiking, I'm talking from serious hiking across maybe hundreds of miles, or if you've been unfortunate to get stuck in a bewildered environment, you realize that movement is actually your savior. Why? Because number one, the brain is focused, the eyes are focused on new horizons. The mind is therefore looking at potential resolve. You are not, as most animals will evidence, you are not sitting still for those who prey on the senses of fear. Our glands give off certain senses. Our body emits certain signals. And if you are staying still for too long, their nature has a way of sending the cleaners of life. And that is true of our behavior as humans, our species. We have become somewhat very, not just sedentary sitting on the couch, rather our brains do not engage as much as they should. You know, we've had some great interviews with some guests, and they talk about the kindergarten, preschool development stages, literally from womb to about 4 or 5 years old, absolutely crucial in developing our ability to navigate change, to learn what it is to be engaged. And conversation is very much part of that. If we don't know how to speak to people, if we don't know how to address people, if we don't respect that protocol, then we're always on fight. We're always trying to read people through a different set of lenses. Have you ever looked at someone and said, this is who they are, without speaking with them? You know, when one of the royal family members recently, I say recently, 2 to 3 years ago, got married, and he went up to Scotland to claim his piece of land, that hasn't changed, folks. That hasn't changed. There was an Indian, a Pakistani young girl who was of a father who was from Pakistan, mother was from Scotland, and she definitely looked as a Pakistanian, born and raised in Scotland. And it was asked of her, what do you think of the events? And she said, well, as a Scottish, I am proud, but as a Pakistanian, I am suspicious. And the interviewer just didn't get it. So again, in communication, are you ready for other people's perspectives? Do you understand the importance of including that perspective in your way of thinking? Because if you are going to be a reporter, and this is my takeaway, if you are going to be a reporter, you should know by now that there are people from every aspect of every part of the globe who have impacted by marrying, by having other children in wedlock or out of wedlock, it doesn't matter at this stage. The point is, there are people with very different perspectives, and they clash with their own culture because they are born into a different society. Therefore, the communication itself is different. So as an English guy, born and raised, coming to America, finding out all the different cultures that are out here, more so, and having lived with them, I embrace that change. I embrace the form of communication that's required in addressing different people. And so to me, it's more exploratory. It's more discovering how I can work with these different people. And certainly, even in writing, when I'm sending messages to people around the world and they require, you can see it in their formality of addressing me, of addressing each other. So those changes in communications are very effective, very important to know. Two books that you should have with you all the time. I know we're in the world of digital tweaking and going to, dare I say it, Wikipedia. I think it's lost its importance to a great extent these days. But the thesaurus, to me, is still a great tool that I use in my writing. And, of course, the dictionary. The dictionary because it exposes me to words that I still don't know. I will never know them all. So these two books, you use them in building your library of knowledge, in your words. It's great to take a word a day, a week, and work it into your conversation. It becomes part of you. You become part of that fact-finding, looking for a richer context in which to communicate. And that is absolutely crucial in today's market. I think there are many people. I think, in fact, I'm going to say most people would love the wealth of a good conversation, whether you're talking about the drag racing that we have here in southern New Jersey, whether it's the professional racing NASCAR in Delaware, which I've been fortunate enough to go down there and participate in some of that recently, to the culinary arts that has become so incredibly sophisticated. Talking about sophistication, we would love to hear your comments. Please give us a call at 347-843-4378. You're listening to Ronald Allen on Managing Change on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking about one behavior that has not changed, and that is the ability to effectively communicate. How we speak towards one another or with one another affects the desired outcomes. So does it not make sense emotionally and intellectually to learn to speak effectively more and more? And I'm not talking about your pronunciation. I'm simply talking about how we communicate. So someone with a heavy lisp can still effectively communicate. Someone who has a speech impediment can still effectively communicate. Hand gesturing, hand language, sign language is also effective communication. It is in everything that we do to express ourselves, to communicate an interest to that other party. That's important. You know, there was an incredible book that I've read, oh my goodness, 30 years, and it's called The Fundamentals of Interpersonal Communication. And every now and again, I find myself just coming back to this book. And I think it's because whether I'm buying a Dunkin' Donut coffee, whether I'm discussing potential business partnerships with department managers, and trustees, small business owners, whether I'm doing my coaching with some of my clients, I think it's interesting to listen to the words they use in the order that they use them based on what they're trying to get. I've found that the way that we speak is a reflection on how we think. So some of us may be thinking of and have many things on our mind, so we're jumping around. And as an effective communicator, as in Toastmasters, part of our challenge, and certainly as a manager, part of our challenge is to understand that, is to see through that, is to listen for that, and begin to draw through more questions, pointed questions, funneling, sales funnel, on the real meaning, the real concern of that party. So if someone has a concern with their profile in the HR department, how are you extracting that from them so that they don't get frustrated? They're not, perhaps they're blaming someone? How do you tell a customer, how do you work and speak with a customer that already coming into the conversation in an irate tone? I had a conversation today with a lady from the utility company, and we were talking about putting on a presentation. And they had spoken before, but today definitely she was under the gun. And I said to her, you know, let's pull back. I said, we're in no rush. And we are. But we're in no rush to do it today, perhaps tomorrow. And in some cases, I guess the word sensitivity brings people the wrong way. On the other hand, being sensitive to that other person's needs, in communicating that to them and reinforcing it, not just once or twice, but as many times as in different, you know, we've already at this stage in the process of putting this event on. Today doesn't seem like a good day. Shall we, can I call you tomorrow? You could say it so many times. Should we speak tomorrow? Can I catch up with you tomorrow? Would it be better for you to call me tomorrow? What if there's an event going on tonight and something has been delivered? Could you get in the car, charge it off to the corporation, and deliver that product? What if there is a different vendor that could provide that needed generator? In our town, the main generator always goes down 3 or 4 times a year. So that just comes to my mind. Could you use the competition as a friend enemy, in this case, to save face? That's communication. What if you gave the ability for your line staff a dollar figure that would allow them to address certain concerns after seeing repeated requests or repeated dollar amounts needing to be expensed, and instead of using one form of payment, you set aside an account? Well, managing change is about the way that we think. And tonight's program, one behavior that has never changed, and that is the way to effectively communicate is what we're discussing. Please give us a call at 347-843-4378 and share with us your challenges or your experiences in effective communication. I am Ronald Allen. I'm your host here on Managing Change, and we do invite you to go to our newly revised website, Managing Change 2, that is a numeric 2 at the end there, .com, and post your comments about any of our guests and the activity that is going on there at this time. We're going to be right back as the clock chimes along. And welcome back to another episode of Managing Change. I'm your host, Ronald Allen, and tonight's program, One Behavior That Has Not Changed, is our topic. And the topic, actually, is all about communication. How do we communicate? How do we effectively walk into a room and communicate our interests, our values, solicit from those that we're speaking with what they're all about? Now, there's one thing when you're in a company and you have to communicate with the different departments about the very work that you're doing. And while I say that, therein lies the challenge. And you hear it all the time in the corridors, in the musings, the coffee room, going down in the lift, in the foyer, where people are jousting about one another. And I guess that's nature. I guess that's human nature. We can kind of put that to the side. People are going to do that because that's what people do. And at the same time, if we ask them, what was your purpose, what was your goal, and you hear or you see a blank stare, then that's cause for concern because they're not engaging that asset, the ability to effectively communicate in a constructive manner. So when I joined the Toastmasters some time ago, and I'm just going to talk about Toastmasters a little bit because I think it's a great environment as long as you find the right clubs. It's a great environment to develop a formal structure and then disassemble that structure and use it as you wish. Now, Toastmasters is very affordable. It has two primary cohorts. One is leadership, so you're able to move through different ranks and gain leadership positions that you're responsible for affecting activity, being engaged, and making events occur, bringing other people along, mentoring, and even coaching in some cases. And then, of course, there's the communication component, which is absolutely crucial because whether you're a high school student all the way through to grandparent, being able to understand the nuances and develop a base from that so that you can speak with anybody anywhere. You know, the old saying, you can speak to the janitor, I can speak to the CEO. Both have valuable information if you take the time to cultivate the need for them to give it to you. And you notice, I say you have to cultivate the need for them to give it to you because why should they? That's their asset. That's their assets. And even though many of us may feel, well, it's not important, there are subtle nuances, as I have found in my projects, certainly the project that I'm engaged in now, there are certain nuances that everybody possesses that can help you build your network, help you build your business, help you to be an effective communicator. So another form is being open to many people's opinions. You don't have to agree. You don't have to support them. You just listen. And what I find is really interesting in that respect is ask them why do they feel that way and where did that need arise from? So someone says, well, I'm against a certain federal law. And you say, well, why? Well, I think it does this, this, and this. Oh, where did you hear that from? They'll tell you. Or it will be emotionally charged. Or they've been told by someone who they trust. And then you ask, well, are you open to other opinions? Are you open to other possibilities? And I think that's what makes an effective communicator. You don't have to tie the person's hands down from day one, from the very start of the conversation. You don't have to tell them that you have the upper hand, whether it's title authority, whether it's position authority, whether it's seasoned authority, whether it's understood authority, where people say, well, so a certain person has been with a company many years. And there are still people out there that are with their companies many years. I met a gentleman the other day. He's a plant manager, incredibly personable individual, very astute. I can see it. I can smell it off this gentleman. He is incredibly astute. And he's been with the company 30 plus years. So maybe part of our communications should be, let's put all the noise to the side and let me address what I have in front of me. I think that's called crossing the bridge when you get there, not before. Let's cross the bridges when we get to the bridge. Let's deal with the challenges. So effective communication, accommodating people at work, even in sports, you've seen people blow off steam. You can take celebrities, you can take Sunday, Saturday morning sports. In my neck of the woods, we have about five of them on Sunday mornings. The other day, we went out early to our market, and all of a sudden, four teams are playing in the field, four different teams, and they had invited schools. Other schools had been invited, of course, to play against them. They weren't just playing for themselves. They weren't just practicing. Well, those environments create great opportunities to communicate, to share different ideas. And certainly, again, as we said before, if you're in a very high-tech environment, the conferences and seminars and forums are great places in which to develop wealth of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is trust. That's a hard one to come by because, as we've seen, certainly in the agricultural world, and because of what the major players, the seed owners, are doing, it can divide and conquer. It does divide and conquer. That's a whole other form of communication. We'll leave that one alone. I'm not qualified to do that. What I am qualified to do and what I have done effectively, whether it was at mortgage banking, whether it was at business development, whether it was in corporate training, coaching, is effectively work with people to elicit their best. And I think that's the ultimate result that we should strive for, because what you're actually doing in your communication with them is telling them it's safe. And if you can make them feel safe with their own set of values, then I think you've allowed that person, and I'm careful with that phrase, the word I use, you've allowed them. That means you can take it away. I don't like that. But you have you've set them up to be independent. As a living species, as an organism, we must be independent of the source that's given us the information for it to be truly empowered. You know, we've been using that word for a while, right? To be really empowered. If someone can take it away, you're not empowered. If they give you the means and you have the confidence, whether the seas are calm or choppy, then now you have that ability to communicate effectively. You can now move forward with confidence, and you can engage other people and begin to explore what they have to offer. So many people are nervous about just speaking their own minds, and that is a shame, because the wealth of knowledge they have can help the business, can help the situation, can address any situation. It doesn't have to be the home run. It can be small iterations of getting you from where you are to where you'd like to be. And in many cases, you may not get there immediately or within the time frame you'd like. And still, you may not get there in the condition that you would like. You may be a little frazzled. You may be a little traumatized. As we said in the beginning, you must be moving. You must be growing. You must be developing those skill sets. And I believe Toastmasters is one environment. I think building your own library through a thesaurus and dictionary is absolutely important. These are tools that no matter what technology comes at us, we have a stability. You know, we talked about in project management, stability allows for agility. If you know that your home base, if every time you come home, you know that it's safe, sound, you've never had to worry about it, then you know you can be more agile when you're out there doing your business, taking care of your family, taking care of your sports, if you're a young athlete or an old athlete. I've got to be careful with these words, you know, you got to be generic. You can get about your business. And in building effective communication, you can hear it in people's voices. Silence is gold. Silence commands attention. Those that like to talk and talk and talk without taking a breath cause for concern. With the rapid development of technology and the increasing variables. If you take the PC and the Mac and you're working off two, which some people do, understand that your capability, your competencies are far greater than someone who is not doing it, because your brain is engaged in multiple iterations of what you're trying to accomplish. If you're learning another language, which is a totally other level of effective communication, because you now have three senses. You've got your primary language, your secondary language, and the interpretation of the two. I've spoken to so many people about that, and they said, yeah, you're right. There is a third unspoken language. It's called comprehension. It's called the ability to put forth a proposition that perhaps hasn't been thought of, because the languages don't speak to it individually. But you bring language together. What is so incredible about communications? I think I need to go and learn another language. As you know, I got to stop saying that I'd like to learn another language. If you'd like to call in, though, we welcome your call at 347-843-4378. I'm Ronald Allen on Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday, where we talk about you, the individual. We talk about family dynamics. It has changed incredibly. We're hoping to have Jonathan Levitz. He is the National Ombudsman for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. Incredibly well-dressed gentleman. I love it, because that's what I came out of in terms of Paul Stewart and Brooks Brothers in my days of interior designing. Fashion is a sense of self. In fact, Naya Reed Allen, her whole premise of wellness for women going experiencing first birth is based on a sense of well-being through fashion, through texture. So these are the ways that we address change. It is not simply being certified or getting licensed to present a service, a methodology. It is part of that whole process. And it's constantly pushing that envelope. You're listening to Ronald Allen on Managing Change. We are here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Thursday. We're going to be right back.
Why do I listen to Managing Change with Ronald Allen and guests on blogtalkradio.com? Because I get to hear somebody else tell their story that relates to me. Issues, changes, and accomplishments that affect my life. Whether you're experiencing a career change, going through a family discussion about change, or an entrepreneur navigating the changes in your industry, Ronald's guests share their stories about winning. They bring solutions to bear on your issues. They get me answers to today's challenges in life. That's why I listen. blogtalkradio.com. Search Managing Change in Managing Life's Changes.
So one of the questions that we just had a caller. And I do appreciate that. You can certainly call in any time at 347-843-4378 while we're on the air, typically Tuesdays and Thursdays between 7 and 8 Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who have started to listen to us overseas, we are Zulu minus 5 hours. They asked me about this book, because they said I've mentioned this book a few times. And I'll give you the name again. It's Fundamentals of Interpersonal Communication by Kim Giffen and Bobby R. Patton. Now, this book goes back a while. I'm talking 1973. My mother actually had it signed by the authors. So I guess I'm a little slow behind the curveball there. But the book itself talks about how we negotiate, how our emotions are charged based on what we hear. It talks about encoding, simplification, stereotypes. What does that mean? When you meet somebody, because you have a prior perspective of people in your database, and the older you are, the more contrived it becomes, you have to literally encrypt that meaning of those people because of what you hear. And unfortunately, in one phenomenon that the book talks about, we actually denounce what we see and hear for what we believe is so. The programming, this is interesting stuff. The programming that we have been given supersedes the reality of the person and the voice and the message that we're hearing. That's how deeply rooted challenges in communications are. So here you might see somebody, you can shake their hand, you can even hear them tell you they're from such and such a country, they've had such and such an experience, and you could even be told by third parties what they mean to you in your life at this moment in time, whether it's a job, whether it's going to the library, whether it's going to a tourist event. Your preconceptions of that person, hardwired to your mind, to your brain, will supersede what they say until a point in time in the number of times that you're communicating with them says otherwise. And that is an incredibly powerful realization of what we have to overcome when we're exchanging information. So there is a politeness, a courtship, if you will, of just politeness. Yes, hello, how are you? Oh, you are this, and I am that, and I worked here, and you worked there. The believability still takes time. And that is why we talk about rapport building and etiquette. The etiquette needed so that the rapport can be established, so that the relationship can become meaningful. That is what you're up against at work. And I know most people are saying, forget about it. I got 5-10 minutes with you, if that. And because I'm your manager, because I'm the person at HR, because I'm the person at compliance, because I'm the person in distribution, what have you, accounts payable, accounts receivable, you have to adhere to me here, now, right now. And so much value of that client relationship is missed. And many people say, well, how do we address that? Take a day. Take a week. My question, litmus test time, how long do you want that client? How much money is that client really worth to you? Then you will use effective communication to extract every last penny. If we're going to be capitalists, let's do it right. Let's maintain that high level of customer service that optimizes the return on our investment, the return of our investment. If we're going to hold high caliber executives, if we're going to attract high caliber executives, we can only do that if we show them that we can sustain a level of production. Everyone can go through peaks and valleys. Everyone can grab a seasonal adjustment, an industrial peak or high, a flash in the pan, if you will. On the other hand, those that sustain comfortable margin of profit and can feed everybody on the table consistently, and when the market goes up, certainly take advantage of it. When the market goes down, you have resilience to sustain operations. That all comes through effective communication. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time. I have to actually break off a little early tonight because of a project that I'm on for the next 3 weeks. And we'll be back Thursday. We are starting to get our schedule back a little bit more, our rhythm, as they say. We're styling. And by all means, please go to our website at managingchange2.com. You're going to see some new information. You're going to see some great guests that we're going to have. We're going to be promoting them. We are still looking for that intern, by the way. We'd love to have a media intern. We do pay a small stipend. and we are growing. We are definitely growing. We're going to be able to pay our bills soon. That's how much we're growing. So without further ado, tonight's program, one behavior that has not changed, how we speak towards and with one another affects the desired outcomes that we wish. Effective communication, highly, highly underestimated, because it impacts us in so many ways. I am your host, Ronald Allen. This is Managing Change on Talk Radio, and we wish you a great evening.
Have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio, with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit. Life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on internetblogtalkradio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on managingchange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat, enter their forum, or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change Internet Blog Talk Radio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.